So we are ended with closed session. Martin, did you have anything?
Thank you. Madam President, board members, the board met in closed session on one item depicted on the agenda. No reportable actions were taken by the board. Thank you.
Okay, now we will resume the regular meeting. Next item on the agenda is item 7, committee reports. Those are in the packet. Does anybody have anything to add to those committee reports? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second. We have a motion by Director Garcia, second by Director Fellow. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, moving on to action items. Item 9A, Association of California Water Agencies Board Officers and Region 8 Board Elections for the 24-25 term. Does anyone?
And Patty, do you want to take this one? Thanks.
Good afternoon, directors. In your packet, you have a memo before you regarding the Association of California Water Agencies Board Officers Election and Region 8 Board Elections for the 2024-2025 term. What the board is asked to consider today is to provide a recommendation to the general manager, who has been identified as the voting delegate for Upper District, to cast a vote on behalf of the agency for the election of the AQUA president, who is, there is only one, and that individual is, thank you, Kathy Green. The vote will go towards Kathy Green. The board does need to consider who to vote for two candidates for the vice presidency. One is Ernesto Avila, and the second is Michael Saunders. Mr. Avila is a board member on Region 5 and also serves on the Contra Costa Water District Board. Mr. Saunders serves on the AQUA Region 3 Board of Directors, and he is a director for the Georgetown Divide Utility District in El Dorado County. Second to that, for the ballot, the board must consider how to cast their vote for the Region 8 board election. And in the packet, you will see that there is a nominating committee for this process. The nominating committee has made a recommendation for a slate election. And in that, the recommended slate is Director Fellow as the chair of Region 8, Director Cooper from Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency for the vice chair. And then the following members would be general board members under Region 8. Frank Colcord, Robert Lewis, John Morris, and Leonard Poland, and Scott Quady. So again, for the board to consider is to direct the general manager to select the vice president, and then also if they concur with the nominating committee slate.
And Chair, if I may ask a question, is the position of chair for AQUA Region 8 a compensable position? In other words, is there additional pay for it?
No.
No. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Do we have any comments or discussion? Yes. Dr. Trevino.
Chair, is it possible to make a motion for Green and Avila at this time?
For agreeing and Avila?
Yeah, Kathy Green and
Ernesto Avila. And that is for the president and vice president of AQUA?
Yes.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
A second.
All right, Director Fellow seconds. All those in favor? Or any discussion at all? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, that passes 5-0. Regarding Region 8 board election, we have chair, our very own Director Fellow, and several others on the slate. Do we have a motion for that nomination?
So move Trevino for the slate.
Trevino.
Second.
Second, Director Garcia. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. So that passes on a 5-0. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Fellow. All right, moving right along. The next item is the state legislative summaries and bill positions. I'd like to jump in on this one, if I may. This came up in the Government Affairs and Community Outreach Committee this past Monday, and we discussed a couple of bills. They are ACA 1 and ACA 13. We had a brief discussion there, and then I further looked into it. I would like to, I think the staff in the memo is recommending a support on both. Regarding ACA 1, looking into it and having further discussion with staff, this bill is really mostly about housing, not so much about water. And this would lower the threshold for voting, approving taxes to 55 versus a two-thirds vote. To me, this could be problematic in the future because some bills can be, or some measures can be worded a certain way, voters will vote for it, and then it actually does something different than what they were voting for. So I personally believe that the two-thirds vote is good at this point. Regarding ACA 13, we're having an issue with that. And I believe ACA 13 is a good support because we are having, that will directly affect the district in a positive way. So I would like to make a motion for a watch on ACA 1 and a support on ACA 13.
Second that.
Seconded by Director Trevino. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? All right, that passes on a 5-0.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
However, the other recommendations, I believe there's another recommendation for ACA 13.
Yes.
Should we go ahead and vote on that?
That was part of the motion.
Was that part of the motion?
That was part of the motion. Okay.
Yeah. So it was watch ACA 1, mm-hmm. support ACA 13.
Okay, good.
Yes, okay. All right. All right, and then we'll move on to information items. We have some press releases and news articles in our packet. And moving on to attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam President, board members, very briefly. In the past 2 months, because I don't think we had a meeting in August, our staff assisted district staff on several matters. We reviewed and worked on the flex charger and the charging station contract. We spent a little bit of time preparing and compiling the city, the general manager's evaluation forms and making sure distributing those and collecting them from the board, and then also some work was done on the Pasadena MET agreement, as well as some civil tech agreement and the federal water smart agreements. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments for our attorney? Seeing none, we'll move on to engineer's report. Steve?
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Madam President. The attorney reported, we've missed a month. Things have been going on pretty much how they were before we went dark for 1 month. Water's still being spread. There is local water being released out of Morris and still being spread in Santa Fe along the river, and some of it getting down, probably close to half of it getting down to the lower area under the Protective Association arrangement to try and share local water 50-50. So that is occurring. It has been occurring. Anybody coming in, I came in on the 210 freeway and see those spreading grounds are full. It is pretty amazing to see them full this long, that full, and water moving around. Percolation rates slowed down. We've reported that in the past. They're still slower than they were when we first wetted the spreading grounds. We actually saw the key well, and I've reported this before. I'll let you know that we're going to provide an evaluation of that probably later this fall, probably around the November timeframe when we get more data. But we've reported that the key well, we started spreading water back in January in the spreading grounds. And the Kuikewa rose steadily, increasing the amount each week that it was increasing, that it was going up substantially till about May or early part of June. It was up to about 7/10 of a foot. I mean, excuse me, 7 feet in 1 week. We would see a rise. So it was really soaking the water up. It slowed down in June to where a point where it actually started decreasing, even though we kept the spreading grounds wet. It's an anomaly that we weren't ready for. We hadn't looked back over historic records. But when we did, we noticed that when it was been very wet before, it's happened before. And the way the spreading grounds seem to work is they're so porous that they fill up under those spreading grounds. The ground, the aquifer fills up and creates a mound under the spreading grounds. And at some point, and it's trying to push it away. And at some point, the water can't get in because it's all mounded up. And it has to push the water away. So we suspected that. We actually suspected maybe there was a problem with the spreading grounds. Maybe a lot of fines got in from the releases and possibly inhibited the percolation rate. We've been assured that's not the case. So we've been correlating the way the spreading grounds have reacted to the percolation and the way the key well has reacted to the replenishment. We think we've got a pretty good correlation. After June, it started to drop pretty dramatically, and it slowed down a lot. Now we're down to it's dropping about 0.3 a week. The most recent elevation was 227.1. That was on September 8th, and it dropped 0.3 of a foot from the prior week. At one point, it was dropping 0.7 a week. So we were a little baffled by that. We have looked at wells that are monitoring wells that are away from the spreading grounds and away from the mound. We are seeing a concurrent rise in those. So it looks like it's making sense that the mound is trying to push out and stabilize in the basin. Whoa. So that was loud, huh? It scared me too. So we're seeing that happen. We should have an evaluation of that process probably, like I said, in a month or two, and a report on that, which we will certainly share with Tom. And then we also want to take this year and look at our basin model and see how this year fits into the way that model was calibrated, because this was a very, very unusual year. So that's what's going on. The releases out of Morris, the local water, we're down to pretty much minimum pool, even though there's almost 300 CFS still coming in. We're down to almost minimum pool. The county plans to stop the releases or cut them way back to just local diversions of about 20, 30 CFS. Cut it way back from the 500 CFS on the 14th, and then Metropolitan's going to come on at USG3 and a flow rate that we can keep all of the water in our basin. So we're going back to imported water. We're trying to get as much water in as we can. And Tom, I think we'll give you some information on what our order was and what we think we're going to get in. It's not anything close to what our order is, but we should be able to take imported water for quite some time. I believe that the county is going to have to do another release with 300 CFS still coming in. I asked about that last time we were talking to the county, and their answer was, well, we don't think so. We think we've gauged it pretty close that we can balance the inflow coming in to the end of the year and still have space for storms that come in the fall or the winter. So we'll see. I think they're going to have to do another local water release, but we'll see. So that's what's going on there. Interesting information. I thought it was interesting anyway. The week of August 15th to the 22nd, 7 days, this is pretty much the Hillary storm that came through. They recorded almost 3,000 acre feet of added storage in the canyon, which is a lot in 1 week. So there was a lot of runoff. They captured it all because they shut everything down because they were trying to control releases for the heavy flow. But they did capture 3,000 acre feet, and that was through the 22nd. And as I mentioned, inflow is still almost 300 CFS. That's 600 acre feet a day they're adding to storage. So kind of interesting stuff. Just for information, rainfall. We ended the fiscal year in rainfall, so we started a new year. Average rainfall for July and August, very, very low. Because of that storm, we had 2.85 inches, which is almost 3,000% of long-term average. So that's an anomaly you won't see very often, a 3,000% of long-term average. That's in Puddingstone. Same thing at San Gabriel Dam. It's about 2,000% of long-term average. So some very strange numbers. And lastly, water quality. During August, 77 wells sampled under Title 22, and during July, 53 wells were sampled, and we have not received notice of any new wells shut down due to water quality concerns.
Thank you.
Be happy to answer any questions.
All right. And do we have any questions or comments for our engineer?
Yes, Madam President, mm-hmm. it's to Mr. Johnson. So what is that algae film that's on top of the water at the spreading grounds?
We have seen that before, and it's because the water is ponded for so long. The percolation rate is slowed, which means the water is sitting there longer. It's not getting in the ground and not as much new water coming in. And we had some pretty hot weather. So that's what it is. It's not a concern. But, yeah, it's probably not as sightly as what normally. But we have seen it before. We have seen algae build up when everything's slowed down like that.
So does that plug up the percolation rate as well?
It shouldn't. Most of it sits on top. They get a little bit down below, but as soon as they dry it out, all that algae will die, and it's vegetation, so it breaks down, so it'll disappear. We're okay. Way more worried about things like fines, you know, fine sand, fine clays, and things that get in. That's what really stops our percolation. Mm-hmm. So, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Madam Chair, can I just ask you? Did you say 5,000? You mentioned this water
master.
5,000% in the
canyon? No, that was rainfall. Yeah. Rainfall at Puddingstone, at Puddingstone Station, for the period of July through August. Okay, is no, that was 3,000, mm-hmm. 2,850, 3,000, and San Gabriel was 2,800, I should say. I'm reading my numbers. It's 2,850, and at San Gabriel Dam, it's 1,700. So 1,800 and 3,000 percent. I've never given those kinds of numbers. Yeah, over average. I've never given those kinds of numbers. So. You bet.
Thank you very much, Steve. Mm-hmm. All right, we will move on to General Manager's Report. Tom.
So carrying on with what Steve said, We have been doing everything we can to maximize imported water deliveries to the spreading grounds this year. The problem is there's too much local water in the way, and that's not a bad problem to have. So the limitation isn't, you know, the available supply from Metropolitan. They've got they still would like to put 500,000 acre feet somewhere. They're looking for places to put water, so that's not the issue. The capacity of USG3 is not the issue. It's this reduced percolation rate. And Water Master doesn't want to pay for imported water that goes to Central Basin, so we're going at a lower flow rate. So the estimate right now through the end of the year is we will get close to 70,000 acre feet. It's currently being delivered into Metropolitan Cyclic account, and then at the end of every year we meet with Water Master. We come up with how much funds are available to buy Met water, and then we tell Met we're going to buy this much at the end of the year, and that comes out in their January invoice. So we'll be continuing to crunch the numbers. So initially it wasn't because of Hillary, but because they still had inflow in San Gabriel and Morris, as Steve mentioned, the county had planned a release for Morris at about 500 cubic feet per second starting on August 23rd through September 11th. But then Hillary came in, so they started early. We shut off USG3 on the 18th of August, and the latest word from the county is they'll be done with the Morris release next Thursday, and we'll turn USG3 back on Friday, the 15th of September. I've been meeting every other week with the county and Metropolitan, talk about what can we do to improve, you know, percolation rates, to more flow out of USG3, and Metropolitan they are going to fabricate a new orifice plate. That's what controls the flow rate out of USG3, because right now we can either flow at 200 CFS or 300 CFS, and we need 250. So they're going to fabricate a plate that hopefully will hit that mark of 250, and we'll increase the flow rate, get a little more water in the ground. So that kind of wraps up the situation with our delivery. We will run through the end of the year, and I fully expect if the local conditions are dry enough to allow us to continue to use the spreading grounds, we will bring imported water in from Met in January, February, and March if we have the spreading capacity available. The main goal, maximize how much imported water we're putting in the Met Cyclic account for the next drought. just to the office situation, staffing, we are short one staff. And I mentioned this to the board before. We have one staff out on some long-term leave. We do expect that individual back sometime in October. In the meantime, Evelyn is doing a yeoman's job handling the audit on her own, because this employee is the main key person that helps Evelyn with the audit. But she's doing a great job with that. And in terms of our receptionist position, Evelyn just sent me the spreadsheet this afternoon. I can't believe the caliber of candidates we received, and I don't know how they pared them down to five. But they've got a short list of five. Evelyn's going to be arranging for interviews, a first round of interviews next week. But it looks like some really good candidates from what I saw. With the building, so I reported this to the committee, but we have coordinated with the elevator company. They're going to be able to do the upgrades when we're dark at the second half of November. So the elevator work and the elevator out of service will not affect any upper district public meetings. So we'll start that work on the 10th of November, and they will be done on Sunday, November or December 2nd. I think it's December 2nd or 3rd. Anyway, that's Sunday, and then the following Monday is when we'll have our committee meetings. So the elevator schedule is not going to affect any. We won't have to rearrange any board meetings because of that.
So I have a question. Would it affect our attendance? And that information so, relate to them?
Yes, that has been relayed to them. They are fully aware of that situation. And, you know, I've told them, you really shouldn't schedule any public meetings because you need ADA access for a public meeting. And while they are not a government agency, they should still consider them public meetings. So we just won't have that. We need to recognize if something were to happen to any of our staff or their staff, we'd have to work on reasonable accommodations, probably remote work. But, you know, these days that's pretty simple to do. If somebody was not able to climb the stairs because they broke their ankle or something like that. So, but yes, our tenant is fully aware of that situation. Martin mentioned the review of some agreements on the EV charging. We're still awaiting for the city attorney on the reimbursement agreement. But in the meantime, I've met with the city and the vendors, and I'm doing a reevaluation. I want to let the directors know about this. So for the publicly available charging stations, and the people have to pay, then we'll get reimbursed for the cost of electricity. Under the city's program, they need the public use to be able to use those chargers either with a cell phone app or a credit card. And in order to use a credit card, there has to be a kiosk installed in the parking lot. And it's not small. It's not as big as a soda vending machine, but it's, you know, 5 feet high, 2 feet wide. And it's really problematic on where this would go in the parking lot. In addition, this kiosk costs $9,000. It's the biggest single line item in that budget. So to cut it short, since this is just my GM report, I'm evaluating, we might be able to do it for less money without the city's participation. We will still put in public chargers, but we won't put in the kiosk, and public can still use those chargers with a cell phone app, and we might be able to do it cheaper, the district on their own, without the city cost sharing, because we'll be able to have a cheaper installation. So that's the bottom line on the chargers. And I know, Ed, you got a plug-in. I've got a plug-in. I want to get this done as soon as you do. So it's just taken a long time. I recognize that. The very last thing is, once again, a reminder, at our next board meeting on the 27th, we will have John Bednarski, Chief Engineer of Metropolitan, to give us a full report on Pure Water Southern California, the potential integration of City of LA's operation next, possible schedule impacts to the Pure Water Project, very important topics right now. And I thought it was best if someone from Met made that presentation. And John is going to do a great job. And he is able to answer any questions you might have about what's going on. And we have let the producers know of that. And Tony has at Watermaster has said he will get the word out, because I think it's important for the producers to listen in on that conversation as well. And with that, I'll stop talking before I...
Thank you. We have any comments for our general manager, questions? I just would say keep us updated on that elevator. We know how sometimes construction can go a little longer than expected. Yeah. All right, I apologize. I'm going to have to excuse myself. I have a prior engagement. I'm going to pass this on to our vice president.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the Metropolitan Water District, which met this Monday and Tuesday. We'll meet next week again Monday. We'll meet the following week, Monday. It's a full-time job almost at Met these days. My report today, I just want to briefly go through some of, share with you some interesting facts. Steve, you'll find these very interesting, which I'm going to say, about the Colorado River, a grant received by Met, and one important action. A lot of things were passed, but one is, for me, was very important, and talk to you a little bit about a historic board meeting that will take place in December. Perhaps the most interesting thing of the 2 days of meetings was from Bill Hazenkamp. You didn't hear it, huh? And Steve, I wish, were you on the line?
No.
Oh, wish you were, because I was just so interested. I didn't write a lot. I wanted to write more notes. But he gave a talk about the Colorado River, and he says it's remarkable what's happening. He said MWD is using 800,000 acre feet less of the Colorado River. Mexico has an allocation of 9 million. They only use 7.5. And so we're going to meet the requirement. Was it to cut? Was it 2.5?
I don't know, but it was stage two. They are not going to go into a stage two shortage.
Yeah.
Which means California won't have to reduce their diversions.
Yeah. Everybody, they were shocked that everybody came in lower, so they're not going to have to deal with all this stuff. And I thought that was very interesting. Then Met has received an $8.2 million climate action grant. The one thing I wanted to talk to you about today is the board authorized a two-thirds vote yesterday of up to $4.16 million for participation in the state water contractors for fiscal year 23 and 24. And I was I wanted this to pass, and it did pass. I was very surprised because it deals with the state water project. And let's be honest, we have some people at Met who don't care about the state water project. And so the SWC is a nonprofit. The State Water Contractors is a nonprofit association of 27 public agencies from the North, Central, and Southern California with contracts providing participation rights in the state water project. Collectively, there are about 27 million Californians, which is 1 in 12 Americans, 750,000 acres of productive farmland in the area they serve, and its role and activities provide input into DWR's policy and decision-making. And there's a number of other things that this dealt with. The reason I was hesitant and some members have met was its membership is 4.16 million. A year, which a lot of people thought, which is a lot of money, but there's a whole list of benefits, and you and I have talked about this. It's tremendous benefits that pay off in the long run, and it was almost a unanimous decision, so I was very happy with that. And finally, in December, it will be the first Met meeting in Gene Camp. All the directors will be bused, those that can go, to Gene Camp for one day and one night, and we're going to have a meeting there. So looking forward to that. But thank you. Any questions? We'll move on to Water Quality Authority, Mr. Chavez.
No report.
And Water Master, you have a report in the book. AB 1234 compliance report, you have that. And we'll move on to director's comments, Mr. Trevino. Mr. Chavez?
No comments.
Garcia? And I have no comments. Any future agenda items? Seeing no further business in front of us, this meeting is adjourned then.